Welcome to Santa Cruz Naturalist. I'm your host this week, Theodora Block. Last month, we spoke with Regina Spranger, who's a PhD student in the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Department here at UC Santa Cruz. This week, we follow up with her and learn more about her research with the California red-legged frog and climate change. Here she is.
So one of the things that we're interested in is not just how their habitats are now, but how their habitats will change in the future. So what we're trying to understand is how these animals are currently interacting with different kinds of canopy coverage and tree coverage. So we test that first to see what temperatures their bodies can get to, where they choose to hang out in that coverage, if they prefer sunny areas or shady areas. And then what we do is we can make predictions of how the temperatures in our environment are going to change and how that canopy and tree coverage will now change the frogs' behaviors and habitats.
What's the life cycle of the California red-legged frogs?
They start as eggs. Breeding occurs in early winter, so January, February. They stay as aquatic eggs for a while, and then they hatch into tadpoles. Tadpoles start off as just a head and a tail. Eventually, as they get larger, they develop front legs and back legs, and then they also go through a transformation, and they lose their tail, get larger legs, and become little, we call a froglet. So those come onto land, and they're little mini baby frogs. And that happens in the summer. At that point, they're little froglets hopping around, and they actually migrate to the adult territory. And they stay up there for the rest of the summer and all of fall, and then the cycle repeats, and they come back down to the breeding ponds in the wintertime.
So they're able to breed after their first year?
It depends on how large they can get. Most likely not, unless they're very good hunters. Most amphibians' breeding time depends on size. So if they can get larger, then they can have eggs, especially for the females who need to be pretty large to be able to have healthy eggs.
Are there any things that affect how the red-legged frogs find their mates? How do they do that?
So they're one of the species that only makes noise during breeding season. So the only time you're going to hear them calling, and it's usually only the males who call, is during breeding season to attract mates, and even possibly to kind of fend off other males.
When the red-legged frogs make it back to their ponds for breeding, how long do they stay there?
They stay for about maybe a month or two. The population I study, we're actually having a hard time tracking the adults. Most species of frogs that I'm familiar with don't actually migrate. That's not always a common frog thing. So this species is particularly weird because we don't actually know where the adults migrate to. So it's kind of hard to track the adults. They just at some point show up at the pond and we see them, and then at some point they leave. So that's kind of one of our next projects, is to see if we can figure out how to track these animals and see where they go to. Because that is an important place too, to monitor and help preserve the place they live when they're not breeding.
That certainly makes them more difficult to study if currently we have no idea where they go to for migration. What sort of distances do they go? Do you have any idea?
We think we know generally where they go. So the pond that this species and population lives at is down in kind of the grasslands. And we think they migrate up the stream into the forested areas. So that's almost a half a mile. It's a pretty big distance for a small frog.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Santa Cruz Naturalist. I'm your host, Theodora Block, and thanks again to our guest today, Regina Spranger.